Welcome to the December 1st, 2021 meeting of the Lyman Planning Board. This meeting will come to order. This is a public proceeding, and unless the board specifically votes to an executive session, you have the right to hear everything that is being said and look at all the exhibits that are offered. If the board votes to an executive session, the reason for saying shall be stated. Please notify the chairman if you have any difficulty seeing or hearing. This meeting is being recorded for YouTube. In each instance, the burden upon the applicant to demonstrate compliance with the provisions of the applicable ordinance or ordinances. After the board votes on the merits of each project, it will prepare a written opinion, which will be forwarded within 7 days. The board works from a prepared agenda and will be considering tonight's items in the following order. 7 p.m., there are no appointments this evening. Review and approve minutes. Discuss amending the zoning ordinance, new business, and open issues. Now, did everybody get to read the November 17th, 2021 meeting minutes?
Yep. Yes.
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
Accept them as written.
Yes, sir.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And we need to sign these two, Patty.
The attachments?
Yeah.
No.
No.
They're just copies of what you guys looked at, which I attached.
You did forget to put my name on that.
I did?
To sign, yeah.
What did I do that? I'm fired.
It's all right. Yeah. There's enough people to sign that.
Form of signatures.
Okay, what do we want to start on the zoning ordinance? Where we left off?
Sure.
I think so.
Yeah. We sort of bounced around last night.
Actually, I think I had brought out some edits, and Patty, you looked like you took care of those.
Some of them.
Some formatting. And.
I didn't do the formatting ones yet.
Okay.
But I did the... I gave you the table of contents and fixed the shoreline zoning date on page one.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you give us copies of that?
That's what you... Yes.
Just this one page?
Yep, because that's... the only change the date.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
I
Yeah, I think the last time we were beating up the lot coverage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Patty, you gave us examples from four.
Yeah. That's as far as I got.
They're all pretty much different, aren't they?
Hey, can I point out something for, like, point of reference?
Yeah.
So, the shoreline zoning, we would think would be the most restrictive.
Right.
It really isn't. They have 20% lot coverage in the shoreline zone. You can have more than one dwelling on one lot as long as you have double the lot size and double the shore frontage. There's no limit to accessory structures except for the 20% lot coverage. So it's a little bit contradictory. I mean, we would think that would be the most restrictive, but it doesn't seem to be the way it. And I just wanted, I thought of that over when doing this research. Just something to keep in the back of our mind.
Yeah. When I first came on, I thought it was a little odd that we have a separate shoreland zoning versus a shoreland zoning overlay, which is what I'm typically used to seeing.
Right. And we should also check inconsistencies where I think shoreland and a regular zoning ordinance should have some, where it makes sense, the
right.
same rules.
Because I will admit, when I first came, I'm used to a shoreland overlay too. It's hard to have different rules for, I mean, whole different set of ordinance for one area than other
yeah.
areas.
Right. I'm wondering if that was put in place because of the 100 foot or 75 foot where you can't build on. So,
but
I
that
mean,
could still be an overlay within our.
Right,
ordinance.
It could be, yeah.
yeah.
But I'm wondering why there's no limit on accessory buildings where you're really limited as to what you can put near the water. So
yeah. Usually what will happen is it'll be a residential district with a shoreland overlay where the shoreland zoning are more restrictive than the regular zone.
Right,
zone.
The most restrictive would.
Right.
What we have for a shoreland is state mandated. That ours is almost exactly what the state law is.
Right.
We have very few exceptions.
Yep.
Right.
So we did not, nobody here wrote that shoreland
yeah.
ordinance. It came straight from the state.
No, do you know what year that was?
We adopted our first ordinance in 93, which appears to be similar to the state's
right.
at the time. I think we just, like I said, we have very few differences in ours than the state's.
And that makes sense because we built in 87, and there were no... There was nothing to go by here. The town couldn't help us at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our shoreland zoning is very consistent with that, which I see in both states I work in. So
really?
We're not doing anything outrageous or mm-hmm. very slack. It's very consistent.
Well, that sort of leads you to the question, maybe our regular zoning ordinance is too restrictive then.
With that being the case, you know, we're looking at 631, right?
Yep.
Right, that's what we stopped last week.
We refer back to 621 is the maximum lot coverage of 15% too restrictive, and for consistency sake, 20% as it is with the shoreland zone. And that would be in keeping with the general purpose district lot coverage limitation as well.
Yeah. Oh, I see your point. Yeah, I mean, if you got 3 acres, mm-hmm. maximum lot coverage of 15% is, well, it's quite, I mean, it's God, but it's still, you got 3 acres, right? When are you covering 15% of it?
There's a lot in the residential zone that are not 3 acres.
Yeah. Well,
but shoreline zoning is, some of it's a lot less than 1 acre.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. It's less restrictive.
Right.
But I wonder if it was less restrictive because of the lot sizes.
So small.
Yeah, right. Those lots were divided years ago. Ours is only a little over a half acre.
Yep.
So it's.
After watching the video and doing the research on the property I'm working on now, in the zoning ordinance that this town has, they do a sliding scale on lot coverage, and it actually is almost reverse. The smaller your lot, the larger your lot coverage is allowed. Because if you have a half acre lot on the waterfront and you're only allowed to develop 15 feet, guess what? You've got a 600 square foot house. Where if you have 5 acres, they're figuring your whole total development is going to be less. So the smaller your lot, the larger your allowable development is.
Percentage-wise. Right.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, if you have a big lot, you don't want to have 20%. They'll bring it down to 10 or 15 or 5%.
If we could devise some formula, that could, you know, some...
Yeah. I think that would be too confusing.
Well, no, yeah, it would be fair.
I don't know what to make.
Well, what's fair is the same thing for everybody.
Well, that's what I mean, but it depends if you're on a postage stamp lot as opposed to 5 acres.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We could not change the shoreline zoning lot coverage. No. We cannot change that.
No.
We can't be less restrictive than...
The state.
Yeah, that Chapter 1000 is where, what mm-hmm. we copied. We can be more restrictive, but we can't be less restrictive.
Less, right.
Well, it seems like we ought to be less restrictive than for the regular ordinance.
So 15 to 20%?
I mean, that certainly is. But then, of course, the other part of that is number of buildings. But, I mean, one thing at a time.
Right.
For residential, if we went within, we went from 15 to 20%, that would be a...
26,000.
Quite a bit, but I mean, you know, obviously you don't have to build that much. It just gives the option. Mm-hmm. So
it really only helps people with smaller lots.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. If you have 3 acres or like...
Yeah, it's not even a...
I mean, you could never...
Right.
Well, you could, I suppose. But.
And we already had it pluralized. Maximum lot coverage for buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, so that would be like principal and accessory, right? Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, I think that's a good idea, really. That would make, wouldn't that make sense?
Like go up to 20? Is that
yeah.
what you're saying?
I mean, is there any negatives? I don't see any negatives. I mean, maybe you can come up with one, but. I don't see any negatives. You still got setbacks.
Yep. Right.
So you're
that's
not
going to change.
You're not hurting your neighbors any. I mean, you got setback protection, if you want to, I mean, call it that, but
mm-hmm. it is.
So lot coverage is not just buildings, right? It's driveways.
Well, so
in the shoreline zone, it's vegetated versus non-vegetated, yeah. but in this ordinance, it says for buildings.
Oh, for buildings.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
So driveways don't count.
Right.
Which is unusual from what I'm normally used to seeing, because you could have a 3-acre parcel, and if you only develop your building to 10%, and then you pay for it, the 3 remaining acreage, you are developing more of the site.
In the commercial zone, it's 45% lot coverage, but right. that counts parking area.
That does count, yeah. right, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't think 20% is a bad number, but...
No, it's average, pretty average.
So is 631 going to stay the same as far as principal building? Or one principal use, one accessory building?
I don't think so. I don't think we should. I think we should increase that.
I think we're kicking around language, something along the lines of, in the residential district, one principal building or one principal use along with accessory buildings, plural, are allowed per lot, with the size of the lot to be determined by 6.2.
Right.
And with a maximum of whatever the...
The maximum lot coverage.
The lot coverage?
Yeah, 6.2 gives a lot of...
So the square footage of your buildings would be your principal, and then your accessory buildings would not be any more than the 20%.
So strike out the one bracket, one, right? I like that. Accessory buildings, plural.
So
drop out, I don't know if we really need to, for use. Change the is to are allowed per lot, again, and leave with the lot, the size of lot to be determined by section 6.2.
But, okay, why do we say one principal building or one principal use in the residential district?
Because maybe you want to build a barn over there or a garage or something and not build a house.
You might have an office.
Yeah, that came up.
Right, and a building is not your, it's not a resident.
Why can't you have both?
It says,
what I was getting at is it says one principal building, okay, say that's your home, or one principal use. So, in other words, it sounds like you can't have both.
Principal building or what?
Well, the way it's written.
Principal use.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, I mean, I'm not pushing it one way or the other, but I'm just saying that if you had your home there and then you wanted to have a separate building, let's say that had a
home occupation,
you could say you had two, couldn't you say you had two principal uses? One was home and one was office.
Well, I think that, you know, the home would be of a
the
higher
use.
Status
yeah.
than the office.
Well, what I'm saying is the way it's written here, it just says, it sounds like you've got to make a choice, either or.
Mm-hmm. That maybe just,
I think we ought to allow both.
I think the word here is principal. Mm-hmm. If you do have a home and you have a home occupation, your principal use is the home.
Right.
The other building of your occupation would be an accessory building. To me,
okay.
Right?
Well, or an auxiliary use of the principal building.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was like a, one particular.
Well, okay. Let me ask this. When would you have a case where you had no principal building, but you had a principal use only? That would just be with a lot with a home office on it. I mean, I don't know.
What about wood processing? That would be a use.
Doctor's office?
Gravel pit?
Yeah. Okay. You got a field and you put a bunch of hives in there.
But you couldn't have a home there either. I mean, the way I read it, you gotta make a choice.
Could have a farm.
So I'm just saying, do we want that's what's confusing me. Do we want the ore in there? Do we want to allow people to...
I was going to say, why don't we just use, in the residential district, one principal building, scratch out, or one principal use along with one accessory building. So a principal building with accessory buildings use as allowed in a per lot with size of the lot to be determined by 6.2.
That sounds good.
Scratch out the principal or use along with,
That's
accessory buildings or use as allowed per lot with the size of a lot to be determined by section 6.2.
Along with accessory buildings.
Plural.
Right. Or use. Now what?
Accessory use.
And then you have a little small garden that you sell vegetables at the stand. So there's your building, and then your accessory use is your vegetable stand.
That makes more sense than a principal building or a principal use.
Yeah, it makes more sense.
Right.
And you could have, and without saying one accessory building, then you could have two vegetable stands, or one could be an egg stand.
A detached garage and a vegetable stand.
So that way it allows people a little more flexibility.
Right.
Does this hurt anything?
I mean, it hurt anything.
I don't think it will. I mean, I can't see where it would.
No.
It would actually benefit people.
Yeah. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Is anybody going to say, well, we're going crazy? I mean, I don't know.
No. Well, like about if you want to have a pool, that's a structure that requires a permit. Mm-hmm. So if you have a pool, you can't have a detached garage or a shed.
If you want to be to the letter of the law.
Oh, yeah, I don't
like
that.
So I think we're making it
more flexible.
More realistic.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Have you been, well, I don't know if you can answer this, but have you been denying permits for pools? I wouldn't think you were. Maybe you were. I don't know. Okay. I'm not
it's
sure.
Not a,
actually,
it's not a unit. I mean, it's almost like, it's not even an accessory building. It holds water.
It's a structure that requires a permit, so it's, how do you, you know.
Right.
And I think that's carrying it a little too far, but you could get somebody who does.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
And it is another use, principal use of
or somebody who didn't want a pool could fight it.
I think that would be like a home, that's not an, it's not a, it's not a business. It's part of your home,
right.
Part of your living area.
Although I don't,
and it's a, and it's a seasonal thing too. It's not something that's used year round.
You don't use your pool. Most people leave them up year round.
Yeah, you don't take it.
Oh, somebody puts in. Well, it's one of my neighbors, and the other was putting. He put a putting in a hockey rink every day, every year.
Yeah.
You know, had a. You know,
yeah.
Which, I don't. I doubt he had a permit or needed one.
Yeah, that probably that comes up as soon as the spring and fall, right?
Yeah. Just, you know, puts down a membrane. Yeah.
So where could this be an issue? One thing I'm thinking of is, let's say someone has a 15-acre lot or a 10-acre lot in the residential zone. Mm-hmm. And so we're allowing them to have 20%
it's a lot.
A coverage on the lot. That... Could that be an issue? You could put a lot of accessory buildings on.
Yeah, could have put a lot of greenhouses on that lot.
All kinds of things on.
Yeah.
But one thing I did see on the when I was looking at the uses of the principal land use table.
Yeah.
And looking at the definitions in the back, and like when they're talking about commercial buildings, like commercial one and commercial two. There's a limit as to the square footage on the building. Like you can have, I think commercial one is 2,500 square feet, and then commercial two would be
larger.
So do you think we would need to have some kind of restriction on amount of building that takes place on a lot?
That is getting, that can be very tricky. Mm-hmm. Ponds are going to explode pretty soon. People are going to be buying up lots, and they are going to be putting up 6,000-7,000 square foot properties with the attached 3-bay garage, the 2-bay detached garage with the ADU over the top of it. It's coming to this town. So do you want to
not to my lot
stymie it and prevent growth?
No.
Or
well,
no, I don't think prevent growth, but you have to have some control.
How big a garage do you want to limit?
Well, you could have, let's say you have want to put 5 garages on your property. You want to use, you know, 2 of them you use when company comes, you put cots in there, and they, you know what I mean? How many of those? It would look, I could see a 10-acre lot looking like a campground in a residential zone, and I don't think the neighbors would be happy about that.
So how do you stop that?
Yeah,
with the...
That's I don't know. That's why I'm throwing this out. I'm trying to think if there
are
any other issues.
Campground and make them get a campground permit at that point.
I know.
If it was a commercial use, it would be a campground. I mean, or it could be construed as a business.
Yeah. Say that person has a 10-acre parcel, and they decide to go into animal husbandry, and they want a couple cows, some goats, some sheep, some pigs, some chickens. Mm-hmm. It's not a commercial enterprise, but now we're going to have several coops. Or building structures to house the animals.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to say, well, sorry, your chicken coop is 5 feet oversized. You can't have it.
That wouldn't be an issue, but.
Yeah, we got to be careful that we don't pick and choose and say, we don't want this, but because someone's going to come in and sidestep it.
Well, there's always, I mean, we know we have an issue with... number of buildings. I mean, that's a given. We got to fix that.
Right.
The percent use seems like we're pretty restrictive in the residential area.
Mm-hmm.
So
20%?
I mean, I guess you could always come up with a size that would turn into a nightmare. But I don't know how you can't put in the zoning ordinance, no nightmares allowed.
Well, I don't think you can say that somebody that has a bigger lot in residential zone can only do this much, but those with a small lot can do this much.
Yeah,
I don't feel that's right either.
It's unfair to the owner if they want to put it, spend that kind of money in.
So would that include, so they could build anything they want, so they would put, you know, they could put three buildings in there with water and electricity and sewerage?
That would be a subdivision that would have to come before the planning board. Because once you put sewer and plumbing in a building, it's a dwelling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So there is some protection there from that point of view.
So there's that principal building. You can only have one. And your accessory unit, is that included in the accessory buildings? So you know how we added that new rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has to be in an accessory structure. So that could be, I mean, that's the thing.
You could have a lot of accessories.
You can only have one.
Oh, okay, all right.
So we limit it to one accessory dwelling per lot. You can't have more than one.
Right.
I think, so we got wrapped around several principal buildings on the previous application.
Right.
Which I'm not disagreeing with, or I'm not even going there.
No.
But say you have... We've allowed other places that grow plants to have several greenhouses as accessory buildings. There's a residence, and it's not just in one place. There's two or three that I can think of. Mm-hmm. Had farms and several greenhouses as accessory buildings. And I think for farming, they should be able to do that in the farming community.
Yeah.
And I think the way we're going, the way it looks like we're headed, would fix some of those common sense things.
Should there be a restriction then on some of the land uses? And I can understand the farming, but what about someone who's going to have a home occupation that's going to repair cars and trucks? Do we just let them go? They can have as many garages as they want.
If it's auto repair, that really should come to the planning board because that's an auto repair service.
Right.
And I think then we have some control over that.
But if our ordinance allows it, the planning board cannot deny it.
We can only condition it to protect abutters. That's mm-hmm. That's what our job is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The land use table is a... sort of a separate subject. Right now it just says automobile recycling or graveyard and automobiles.
Sales and service.
Sales and service. So it says no right now, and for example, in the residential zone. So, I mean, there is a protection in there against uses that people would consider not appropriate. I mean, I'm not saying they are or they aren't, but I'm saying the way it's written now, there's a bunch of no's. There's some no's in there that don't allow...
Yeah, we don't allow a lot.
A lot of things in a...
And there are three here that business office and campgrounds and boat and RV sale say no in the table.
Yeah.
But if you go over to where it says in the residential area that with planning board that they are allowed. Following up permitted uses in the residential requiring a site plan. So that's page 20.
We have to go through that and fix
those. Yeah,
What I can say is that in section 1 of our ordinance, I think it's in 1, it might be in 2, conflicts. If any section of this ordinance conflicts with any other section of this ordinance or other laws, the stricter of the two applies.
The stricter of the two applies,
so
right.
So that's a safety net for that.
Right.
But we should probably still fix that.
Yeah.
Yes, we should.
Well, see on what page do you see that inconsistency?
The land use table is on page 16 and 17.
Yep.
Actually, it's 15, 16, 17.
Right.
So on page 15, boat and RV sales and service. It just says no in the residential. And so if business office and campgrounds also, it says no in the residential district. But if you go to the page, page 20, it says the following are permitted uses in the residential district requiring a site plan review by the planning board. And there, it's boat and RV sales is listed, so yeah. So it should say SR on the table. You know.
Or it should say no.
Or it should say no,
yeah.
One or the other, right.
And we need to decide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then it should be, if it's a no, it ought not to be listed in 5.3 then. That's right. Because that is confusing. I mean, that's
conflicting.
Yep. One in brackets.
Doesn't say.
Yeah, same with business office and same with campgrounds.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think there was a problem. And in schools, school, it's a site plan review, but it just says private in the table, but on 5.3 it says public or private. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that matters, but it should be consistent.
Well, maybe Kelly, maybe that's referring back to the land use table where it says there's an agriculture 1 and 2 and the business contractor 1 and 2. Yeah, see, like it's business contractor in 5.3, it says business contractor, for instance, 1. That probably is referring back to. Well, okay, that one's okay, though. That one's all right. Business
by school.
Business by contractor is okay.
That's okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The land use table, schools, just private. It doesn't say public.
Public schools are going to take it by eminent domain anyway.
Well, as long as it's consistent. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to work on 6.3. Oh, we're going to do the.
I think we ought to do 6.3.
I think we should do 6.3.
Yeah, let's decide on 6.3. And then.
We can work on the table.
Sure.
Once we're done with that.
Table is a cross reference.
Then, just backtrack to 6.2.1. Are we good on changing the 15 to 20%?
I think we are. I don't know.
Okay.
I am.
And 6.3.
Cecile?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Paul,
no,
you good with that?
Yeah.
And 6.3.1, I think we're proposing in the residential district, one principal building along with accessory buildings or uses are allowed per lot with the size of the lot to be determined by section 6.2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
With the size of lot, should you put size of lot in lot coverage, or should we just leave it?
Lot coverage is in 6.2.
I know it is.
Yeah.
Maximum lot coverage.
I think leave it in one place.
For buildings.
It's fine.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that way at least you look at it and you can see it right away, and then as long as you don't have it, you know, as long as you refer back, you're okay. If you start putting the same numbers in another spot, then you got a problem. If you change one, you got to change the other.
Yeah, right.
Which is always an issue.
Which is what we're doing now.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, I think that.
Well, I took care of A, I believe.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
And with B, you want to lift the restriction to 2 buildings? Did I get that vibe?
Yeah.
From last time
around? Yep.
Should be this kind of the same as residential because we're not limiting that to 1 or 2.
Right.
Nope, we're not.
In the general purpose district, there shall be no more than 1 building for each principal use. And
that's it?
Drop
the rest of it, right?
I was going to say copy A, put it in B, change residential to general purpose.
Okay, wait a minute.
I still think per each principal use is confusing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not. I mean, how can principal use is the primary use.
Well, if you on B, if we just took out and no more than two buildings for an accessory use is limited by lot coverage.
Would we use the same wording that we use in A?
I think it would work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The biggest
keep
difference.
It nice and simple.
Yeah.
Oh, there is a difference though. A says one principal building. B says there'd be no more than one principal building for each principal use.
But when you look at, I don't think we can have, it doesn't sound right to have more than one principal use on a lot. But if you look at general purpose, we allow residential and we allow a lot more commercial uses than we do in a resident. So our comprehensive plan wants us to encourage that. But it seems like we could word it.
Each principal use is contradictory to each other because you have a principal, which is a first, then you can't have a second first. Mm-hmm. I say copy the wording from A, change residential to general purpose district.
See how it reads.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Yep.
Sounds okay.
Well, I think that'd be the simplest thing to do.
Yeah.
And it refers you back to 622.
Exactly.
And tells you you can have 20% coverage.
Yep.
Was that, do we know when this was ever, when this was changed, or what it was before?
I had that, I was looking for it today because I had that for the last zoning board hearing, but I couldn't find it.
Oh.
It used to say, for more than one principal building, you needed the minimum lot area and road frontage for each.
Oh.
So if you had two in the general purpose, you had to have 10 acres and the amount of road frontage twice. Then we changed it to wording that was similar to what we have, limiting the lot coverage.
Okay.
In 05, up to 2002, we had that. If you had two principal buildings, they had to have the minimum lot size in that zone times two.
Yeah, there's a lot of headache about that.
Because we have we have some places that have two houses on one lot, which can be problematic, I think.
Yep. You mean because they were put there before the zoning changes? Yep. Okay.
Or when we had that wording.
Right. So I'm thinking with the road frontage, if you do have a business and a home, maybe road frontage would be an issue, would it? If you have a business, would you want? More does it matter?
Well, if it's in general purpose, it's a higher.
They have 375.
375 as opposed to
375. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And subdivision is more restricted.
Yeah.
Or it can be, right? 400. I think subdivision is 400.
No.
No. Sure. I'm positive.
You're right.
You're probably
right.
Of course
you're
right.
I bet on it. That means
anything. No, I got a bet. I never win a bet.
There's a booze. No.
So that leaves C. Anything to...
I think C is good.
C is...
Yeah, that's good.
It's pretty well written out on C.
I think the only issue with
allowed for the site per 623. Or there's no reference to 6.2.
Well, there's no.
There isn't?
I don't think so. The number of buildings and uses in the commercial residential district will be determined by the maximum total lot coverage allowed for the site. That's where it is.
Ooh. Well, wait a minute.
Does 6.2 say anything about?
Oh, yeah.
6.2.3, yes.
6.2, yeah. There are a lot of rules.
A lot of detail in terms of that. So
yeah, it's got a whole bunch of stuff
maybe
there.
Maybe add just a...
reference to that, yeah.
For the site per... 6.2.3? Section 6.2.
determined by Section 6.2.
That would be consistent with the first two sections A and B.
And the other thing, could we just take A and B and just make an A? We're worrying about the exact same thing. You could say in the residential district and general purpose district, and then put what we said.
Well, they're a little bit different. I'd leave them separate.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're breaking out individually in 6.2, so.
Yeah, but you're referring to 6.2, so you see it right there, residential and general.
Or it could be more specific in A, B, and C in 6.3.1. In A, 6.2.1, 6.2.2, 6.2.3, if you want to
do that that way.
Yep, more specific, I agree with that. In the commercial resident, in that 6.2.3B,
yep.
That is confusing to me.
Yeah.
Can someone explain it?
Which one?
Commercial residential district, item B.
Mm-hmm. That is
commercial residential.
Is that where it splits up the different lots?
Yeah.
So I was confused about that for the first 5 years I worked. So I didn't. That was designed for. I don't know when we did the
service road.
But we when we adopted the commercial zone, we adopted the notion that there was going to be a service road off of 111, which would be a front lot on 111 and a back lot on the service road.
Right.
We did away with the service road,
but
we didn't do away with the reference to those two different lots. We need to fix that because it's...
Well, we should take it out then.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does it help us now?
Does nothing. It's so confusing.
Confusing.
Okay,
so,
no.
So, delete B? Is that what we're saying?
It sounds like. It would be...
And rename CB.
Right, to rename.
Right, that would be. Yeah. I think that's just confusing, because we're never going to get back to that anyway. I mean, I don't think never, but that concept—it's not a bad concept, but
the implementation of it is near impossible.
Can't do it.
Right to my neighbor's house.
Well, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Now, there could be an issue as to when we get to talking about districts that. Commercial district ought to be expanded, but that's a separate issue.
Right.
So. Yeah, I don't see any reason. I think that's scratch.
Strike out B, move C to B.
Yeah. Oh boy. And then we get into the base lot size. Oh, but then we talk about lots 1 and 2. So Here we are going. Oh gosh.
Yeah, I didn't do nothing about a service road when I came here, and I'm honestly, I think it was about 5 years before I finally learned that that's what it was referencing, a service road.
The phantom service
road. Yeah.
They never have one, yeah.
So if B is obsolete, 1 and 2, what has been C,
they don't make any sense.
We drop those too, I think. Just go through setbacks, minimum road frontage, maximum total lot coverage, and in determining lot coverage.
Right. I think you got
it. 6 is very important.
Yep. Yes. So scratch 1,
6, 2, 3.
Scratch 2. We need three, which is the setbacks, 20 feet. Yep. 100 feet front, 100 feet rear, 30 feet on the sides, 200 feet frontage, max coverage 45%,
That's lot coverage versus building coverage. Big difference.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Strike one and two, renumber the rest.
Yeah.
The rest of it, part six reads okay to me, I think.
So it says where it says impervious surface area includes the areas of buildings, parking, and roadways. Grass areas used as overflow parking shall be considered as impervious surface, and would that be included in the 45%?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's pretty detailed. I don't know where it, you know, originated from, but at least it's understandable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not.
It's time not from which to approve or deny.
We haven't had any problems with it, any
good.
Really.
No, the only thing I remember, we had one building, we had them add parking spaces, and they ended up trading or something. That one
at Dollar General?
Yeah,
they moved the lot line.
Yeah, they had, yeah. Because they had to add, they were required by the ordinance, they followed the ordinance, as I remember, and it wasn't any issue. Good. Okay. All right. So with this, if we can make these changes now, will that solve the issues that have come up on principal and auxiliary use? Do you think that we've had from a couple of appeals and things?
It solves the farming one, I think.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
I'm iffy on the up one.
Yeah, well, that's under. I would consider, when you look at land use table, then you can say, okay, do we want to change? Do we want to recommend changes to land uses or some land uses for some zones? And that would be a voter's decision, right? Mm. So, I mean, that's where the other issue seems to be land uses in some zones.
Right.
So if we want to recommend a change to that, then voters would have a chance to say yes or no. It probably ought to be a separate article as opposed to the stuff about the principal uses, which is a more, I mean, that's
right.
More of a specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
Could be my comment. Yeah. Okay. All right. Somebody keeping track of all this? Got a comment about your T-shirt afterwards.
Oh, concert I went to see.
Mm, I went to that also.
I want to.
I think it's my one and only rock concert.
Opera.
It may have been an opera to you. I could actually hear it. That shows you how loud it was. Never mind, I'm getting off track. Sorry. Next. It was funny, though. I'll tell you about it. Okay. What else can we talk about?
The land use table.
Yeah, we can go back to the land use table.
Okay. Yeah, we can take a look at that. Could we talk just about the table and not, and we know there's some inconsistencies with the other stuff, but if we could decide that if there's anything in the land use table that we want to change, then that would might generate a change further back.
Right.
But the first thing would be looking at the land uses and see whether there's anything that is egregious or, you know, not with that issue with, I should say.
So we'll look at the definitions.
Yeah.
So like agriculture one.
That'd be back under.
It's limited to the raising and sale of crops and plants out of doors. Agriculture one does not include the growing, production, testing, sale, and processing of marijuana. So agriculture one is no greenhouses? That's what that meant.
Seems that way. That's the
distinction. Or you could have, I mean, it seems like there'd be a big difference between a greenhouse that's a structure that is, has like foundation and solid walls or whatever, as opposed to a greenhouse that's like plastic or whatever. Yeah. Maybe we should clarify that. Because that would be considered out of doors. A greenhouse of that sort would be an out of doors operation, even though it's a building, but it's not usable in the wintertime.
The other distinction seems to be in agriculture too, the specification of a commercial operation.
Yeah. Without the use of human. Right.
So agriculture one is not commercial.
It doesn't say
that. Sale of crops, raising and sale of crops.
Oh, yeah, it's
controlled.
Yeah. Yeah, it says sale, so it could be like a home occupation, right?
Yeah.
But it sale of crops and plants.
Yeah. The only distinction is whether or not you got a fixed greenhouse.
No. Because agriculture too says as a commercial operation,
right?
But then one allows you to sell it.
Yeah, I know it is a commercial operation.
Yeah. Don't you think?
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, I think what the idea is that one is supposed to be a limited kind of a thing where somebody is selling tomatoes or something
That, and then roadside.
Whereas two is supposed to be like a farm stand, maybe with you're selling a whole bunch of vegetables. But it doesn't specify.
No.
I don't know whether you.
Or like a florist. A florist would be a business.
You drive down 35 and there's a place that sells flowers or something. They have a
They
have little things that they say $10 a while, whatever the number is.
Oh, right,
And so you put in money in a box and take the flowers, I guess.
That would be agriculture one for me.
That would be,
right?
Yeah.
It seems like the distinction that they're trying to make isn't all that clear a distinction.
You're right.
Yeah.
I think we have a feel for where they're going here, the difference between just drop the money in the box and you take the flowers, whatever, the eggs, whatever.
Or
as opposed to something more elaborate.
More commercial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's, it doesn't, maybe there's better wording, but.
Well, could that almost be like.
That's only the first item. Like,
that, I know. But the place on, it's not in line, I'm thinking of. We buy farming supplies and stuff like that, but they do have plants and.
The Agway down in.
Agway. I was thinking of Agway.
Green Mountain, something like that.
Yeah, I mean that would be more like an agriculture.
Definitely
would be two. I would think. Well, maybe we ought to just say.
Ag one. I mean, I think they should be able to have a little greenhouse.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Is there any better? I mean, maybe we could just say, okay, we need to see if there's anything we can change on Ag 1 and Ag 2, because right now they.
Because there's a place going down 35 that has, I mean, they're little greenhouses. And it's just their. I think it's just their own.
Right.
I don't even see them.
You know, selling
anything. But wouldn't that be Ag One?
Yeah, I would think so.
I would think, yeah.
But it just seems like we shouldn't tell people they can't have a little greenhouse of their own.
Right.
Oh. Even if they sell overflow of what they.
Right.
Well, again, given the change to the state constitution.
We can anyway.
We can.
Right.
Not now.
Well, we can't stop them from growing their own food.
Right. But that the implication too is being able to sell locally as well, the way I see it. So.
Could we also make the distinction by, if it's a commercial operation, they have to have a business license, right?
We don't have business licenses here. I mean, they might have...
We should. That's one way that the town could be getting revenues is to have licenses for these kind of business, for businesses.
Yeah, and then you make a quilt in your house and sell it, and then you're going to get your business. So we're going to tax you on the quilts you make and sell.
If it's a commercial operation, I mean, there should be some kind of permit. Other towns have them.
Well, they have a permit from us.
Yeah, right, but I mean, it's not a commercial... Well, it's not a business to operate.
The only way you could get any revenue would be if your, seems to me like, would be if your assessment went up. I mean,
that's the only thing. And how do you determine that? I mean, if the mill rate's the same as the assessment of the building, but that would, we'd be able to determine whether it's a home occupation. You wouldn't have need a permit for that or a license, but a commercial operation. Much larger scale, where you've got a big sign out there, and you have traffic. You know, that would be a commercial operation.
The way I look at it is, agricultural one was intended to be the homeowner with a small DIY garden, and agriculture two was a commercial, right, where any residence was secondary to the production of goods.
Yeah.
So if we can come up with some type of verbiage to delineate that, say it better than I could say it.
Yeah. And even if we did, doesn't much matter.
Yeah.
And that, and once again, we aside from the freedom of farm to a farm law that already exists, this change to the state constitution seems to me like this, that the distinction is being erased.
So maybe we need to merge them into one.
Maybe.
One definition.
But does that law mean that they can do it unregulated? Because we're not telling them they can't do it.
Yeah.
Selling it too is tricky business. I mean, I think there still is some control over what you sell. It has to be inspected once in a while to make sure you're not feeding people poison, you know.
I don't think we're going to solve that.
But
maybe we should
pasteurized apple cider.
Right. If you have apple orchards,
yeah,
that would be agriculture. Would that be an agriculture one or two? A large apple orchard, and you have apple picking, and you sell cider.
If I'm selling, like the flowers, throw the money in the bucket and take a gallon or a half gallon out of the cooler. That's one.
That's one, definitely one.
And if I'm selling it right across the road at Homestead, Maine, now that seems to be a larger distribution potential. Therefore, two.
That's two, yeah.
Finding the language to distinguish the two, though, is kind of tough.
Well, I don't think we're going to solve that now. I think we need to note that we need to say, is there any better wording to differentiate between Ag 1 and Ag 2?
Because
the only real difference is Ag 2 is not allowed in residential.
Yeah. Maybe we need to look at 5.29, which is any dispute regarding farming activities will be guided by the Maine Agricultural Protection Act, MRSA, whatever, and handled through mediation, so we can look for them to guide us. Do they have...
Maybe they got
the difference between one wording and some verb deal.
Right.
Yeah. Page 19.9.
Actually, if we're changing how the lot parameters, then it doesn't matter because they can put greenhouses on there as long as they would stay within the 20%, right? Whether it's one or two.
Well, the difference is that limited to outdoors. We need to define that. Is the greenhouse outdoors or indoors? That's the thing that...
Well, we've already classified it as a structure.
Right.
So
Ag 1 is limited to outdoors.
Ag 1 is outdoors, yeah.
Which, you know, when Don stocks his tomatoes and he has his little small 5x5 portable greenhouse, now he can't do it.
I think we should make the distinction to small farm, what do you call it,
gentleman's farm.
Yes.
Well, I no longer use gentleman's farm.
Commercial.
A they farm.
And you got to define it there.
Right.
Pastime.
That's what we want to do research.
If we get a better definition, we might, maybe there's another ordinance we could steal a definition, if there's anything
that works.
Because right now it's really just that one little thing there, that one DS there.
Yep. Income generating.
Well, I'm not generating any income off my tomatoes.
So it sounds agriculture, the way it looks now, agriculture one is seasonal. Agriculture two is not.
Oh, I see.
Married, because out of doors mm-hmm. means, you know, it's a seasonal operation as opposed to...
Even if there's a greenhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a point. That's
so,
good.
I still think we should take that limited to outdoors.
Out there.
If the definition defines it separately like that, seasonal versus year-round, mm-hmm. then we could take that limited... It is limited to outdoors because it's seasonal here.
Right.
But we can take that out so people couldn't read it to say you can't have a greenhouse.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think it would fix the problem.
Yeah, seasonal sounds good to me.
I know this is suggesting something that doesn't really have a distinct definition to it, but limited to the small scale raising and sale of crops and plants, period. Whatever small scale.
Yeah,
that's subjective.
It is.
Mm.
But that's kind of the distinction we're trying to make between the two
yep.
things.
Right. And that also could depend, you know, you could have a large lot in you as opposed to a small.
Think about it goes back to what is the principal use of, on the lot. Is it residence with a small garden or is it garden with a small residence?
That's right. Hmm. As long as it's 20%, it doesn't matter, right? 100% coverage.
Hmm. Limited to the non-principal use. But limited to the non-principal use of raising and sale of crops and plants.
Agricultural one. Wow. Principal lot use is residential, single family residential. Agriculture too. Principal use of the lot is commercial agriculture. With residence being secondary.
I think that's where we're going.
I think that's the intent of it, myself.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
We
just gotta get the wording.
Okay, so we got an issue.
I think it's one for research.
Yeah.
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 Right.
I got another one because we moved down the list.
Where?
There we go.
What have you got for Don?
Well, I was looking up bed and breakfast inns.
There we go.
One and two. There's only a definition in the back on page 75, but I see a bed and breakfast inn.
Yep.
There's no one and two. So I'm assuming it's probably, well, I don't know whether one is supposed to be, I mean.
One, you sleep under the stars, dog.
There you go.
And two, you've got a room.
Not a campground.
But it's not a campground. So.
Yeah, we need definitions.
But I don't know that we need, because right now we allow bed and breakfast inns, one, in all three zones, and we don't allow But a larger one presumably is not allowed in residential, but it's not defined anywhere that I see unless it's back buried back in here somewhere.
No.
Yeah, we don't know what the intent is for the two. It does say occupied by an owner, a bed and breakfast. In the definition, it says occupied by an owner.
Mm-hmm. Or a resident manager.
That's right. There are kitchen facilities in the guest room.
So either I mean, the other choice would be to eliminate, you know, the distinction between one and two and make them all site review.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be an easy fix.
Mm. That would make sense.
But we can't, either way, if we leave it the way it is, it's not going to.
Do we have any BSDs in town?
I don't know. Well, what about the yurt? Is that a B&B?
That's contract.
Oh, contract zone, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the yurt is sort of like a B&B. Could you go down and have beer for breakfast?
Well, it's almost like a campground.
Beer for breakfast, yeah.
It's almost like a camp. Could be a campground, like a campground, too, right? Because you're camping in it.
Cold fire with soup. Cold.
Well, I guess maybe we ought to just delete B&B too.
There was a reason that they put it in. It's just
we can find
it. I know, we can find the reason. Is there a land use table in the zoning, shoreland zoning?
Maybe it's in there.
Yes.
Anyway, that's something that we need to figure out.
One of the rooms, B&B 1, 4 to 8, whatever, B&B 2. Maybe you guys wonder and cross over and go, well, is it a B&B or is it an Airbnb? It's occupied by your owner or resident manager until the guests show up. When they scoop. Or they stay in the ADU over the garage. Let's see.
Yep, but we don't know what it is. Yeah. Anyway, well, there's one that has to be looked at, I guess.
Yep. Definitely.
What else we got here?
All the others.
Yeah. Maybe that's what that boat and RV sales, that has to be changed to SR. Oh, one or the other, that's the conflict. We have to research that.
We do define commercial 1 and 2.
And it says, see commercial facility 1, and that says no also, so.
Yeah, and there's a definition in the back of commercial and industrial facilities in 1 and 2. And it just has some wording in there.
Yeah, there is a definition, difference in the definitions, in those.
It's like the big difference is
square footage.
The square footage, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also number of employees, commercial, is obviously a smaller operation. Have we had any issues with that? I don't think we have, Patty, as far as commercial.
No.
I don't think we've had any issues. Yeah, okay. Business office. Oh, wait a minute here. Business office. Huh.
So commercial, question about the commercial facilities, the square footage,
Yeah.
Is limited in.
Right. In one.
In where? Limited in the. Well, I guess it is. Okay, commercial facility two is only allowed in the commercial zone. So if. So for any of those uses that are considered commercial, what's considered commercial? Selling, right?
Yeah.
You're selling to somebody, either wholesaler or retail or whatever. So any of these uses that involve that kind of operation, activity, could also be classified as a commercial one or two. And could be limited by the facility size. Mm-hmm.
If it's a retail, it's a retail. You can't use retail and commercial facility. I mean, we should go by the definition that it most meets. Commercial facility is more of a, we use that for the doggy daycare on Route 111, because we don't have doggy daycare as a use.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a use that's defined, like retail or restaurant or public office, we should use those and not commercial facility, right? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I'm just saying that there's a, I mean, they qualify, commercial is so general.
Mm-hmm. Well, the
definition wraps a bunch of, I mean, I think it's for things that, like, the only one I can think of off the top of my head is the doggy daycare, which we reviewed, but the planning board reviewed as a commercial facility because we don't have that specific use.
That's a catch-all.
I would think you need a general catch-all because, it's nice to put in specifics for certain types of businesses, but if you don't have a catch-all,
mm-hmm.
Then you don't have anything to review any other. If somebody comes up with a new business, computer, I mean, I don't know if there's a computer repair in here or something, but if they come up with a business to do something, you'd have no, you wouldn't be able to, in theory, you wouldn't be covered by the ordinance.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, the definitions, commercial and industrial facilities I caught that could be an issue is it states that they have to be providing a service to the general public. That would prevent a manufacturing facility from just manufacturing widgets, packing them up and shipping them out, because then they'd have to have a retail front to service the general public. I think we should get rid of that line, servicing the general public. Because the one below, which may include retail or wholesale.
Packaging or processing goods, or providing a service to the general public. So it's or, any one of those. Redemption, packaging, processing of goods, providing a service to the public.
Yeah, if it doesn't say and, then I think or is...
Or.
Any one of them.
Yeah.
Yep. Any one or all.
I was going to say, you guys remember Schoolhouse Rock? Yeah. Either or, neither nor. So either this or, so we'd have to have an either in at the preface, beginning of that.
I agree. I understand what you're saying, but I don't know.
Assembly fabrication, either finished packaging or.
You're looking at commercial and industrial facilities one?
Both of them.
Yeah, there's three ors in that first one, isn't it?
But we need either.
Assembling, fabricating, finishing, fabricating.
I understand what you're saying.
Or processing goods.
I think it conveys it fine.
Yeah.
It's the old grammar.
Yeah, coming back to me. But obviously the point, a service to the general public, instead have the same language that we have in two, which may include retail or wholesale sales.
Well, okay. One is, remember, it says including the owner. Well, I see your point. Yeah.
Service to the general public.
Yeah, they both say.
Which means what?
So if we had either, if we had,
I think
let's go with two.
I think it's okay.
A facility having more than 2,500 square feet of floor space either for assembling, comma, fabricating, comma, get rid of the other, get rid of the or between processing, just put a comma in there, and then we only have a last or providing service to the general public. Then we're grammatically correct, we're covering our basis.
You got me totally confused.
Either or.
I think it's, I don't see what's wrong with
either
it.
Either or, because a comma implies it's, you need the or.
Yeah. Well, with the either, the either stipulates one of the following.
No, I think I think right now it's pretty.
I think it's fine the way it is.
It's pretty general. It leaves it basically, it gives you the footage and then it's basically any, it covers a lot of ground.
Right. Assembling, fabricating, all of those describe goods.
But.
If you look at that, all of them, you assemble it, you fabricate it, you finish it, you redeem them, or you package, or you process goods.
Or providing a service to the general public, that would cover the Dalby daycare.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think there's much wrong with it, really. I don't know, maybe it could be worded better, but I don't see where either comes in.
Well, that's your homework for next week, next meeting. If everyone rewrite the sentence, it will pick the best.
You either have to put either and then get rid of all the rest other than the one or get rid of the commas and put or assembly.
We'll put parentheses and group them.
I don't think so.
You're mixing two.
We're mixing metaphors
there. Could I toss one out there?
Yeah, go for it.
On page 16, got something called farming.
Oh, yeah.
And the distinction between that and agriculture 1 and 2 is...
Uh-oh.
Farming can be animals too, right?
Well, check out the definition. Mm-hmm. The cultivation of soil for the production of raising of food, crops, and other valuable or useful products, including the raising or boarding of livestock and poultry for personal or commercial purposes. And marijuana excluded. Mm-hmm. And the difference between that and Ag 1 and Ag 2 is...
Animals, I think.
Yeah, it is. But, okay, why talk about the raising of food crops or other useful products when it's just, farming go right to livestock, if you want to make the distinction?
Well, farming, you can do both, can't you?
Mm-hmm. Again.
What does it say on the table of land uses for farming?
Yes.
It's allowed everywhere.
Farming is.
So that's interesting. There's restrictions on the agriculture part, but when you add the animals, the sky's the limit.
Not in the residential zone. We have a whole list of.
You can only have so many animal units.
Yeah.
So, that's right too.
Remember we went through that.
That's right.
Yeah.
We
were arguing about the half chicken.
No.
Constitutional right, natural right, and all that. Yeah. How many chickens can you have in Congress Street, Portland?
That change in the Constitution. Okay. Yeah, I was suggesting in terms of the farming definition, so it doesn't overlap with the definitions for agriculture, exclude reference to raising of food and crops or other valuable use of products. If we want to make a distinction between the two, plants over here, livestock over there, do it with it. Change of language.
Yeah, but farming does consist of growing stuff, Joe.
I know.
Is farming site plan review anywhere, or is it yes?
No, it's yes, right across the board.
Yes, across the board, yeah.
I wonder if so it would be to someone's advantage to say they were farming as opposed to doing agriculture.
Exactly.
That's what I would do.
What? Remove agriculture?
Yeah. No, if I was going to try to have a farm and grow crops to sell, I'd say I'm farming.
Right. Farming, right.
Because that's allowed everywhere.
Right. Yes.
Well, agriculture, though, the only thing would be agriculture, too. That's the only one not allowed in residential. The rest of yes is for Ag 1 and Ag 2, right? It's only that one thing. agriculture too.
Yeah, I wonder why that's written like that.
And ag one is rare. Just let that bring that up. You have to go research that.
Okay, I think we're getting into circular. Let's see if we've calmed down. We down to business office. Did we talk about that or not? My memory is very good.
Yep, we did.
Types of cemeteries here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Site review. So, do we have any large cemeteries over 20,000 square feet? My gosh, I wonder. I don't know.
I don't really think so.
They can have buildings, but those that are less than that do not have buildings.
That's the one over here is probably over half an acre.
This difference is just the size and then the cemetery, too. I mean, the larger one can have a...
mausoleums.
Yeah. With or without. What about the one across the street? Would that have a... there's a...
I think so.
Does it have a mausoleum? Well, probably a grandfather, anyway.
It's a crypt, if you want.
No buildings. That's a different... Yeah.
I don't know what you...
buildings are fine. Yeah, so I get confused.
And there's a little one on Hill Road.
It's got a crypt.
Churches we can't mess with. We shouldn't. Brains. Clubs. No clubs. What's the place? Going down to commercial facilities. Another one in.
So, in the beginning of the ordinance, it said, when it talks about land uses, and I think it says that if the use is not listed, then it's not permitted.
Correct.
However, we have a commercial one and two, and pretty much anything else could go in there?
Not really.
How would you defend that?
I mean, not really anything else could go in there.
Anything commercial, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, we've been saying define commercial. Now, let's not get back into that again.
I think commercial facility is a dangerous option.
Well, you got to have something. You need a catch-all. Maybe that's not the right name for it, but you need a catch-all.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to have to be able to do anything.
I guess, like you were talking about the doggy daycare. So, if in a case like that, there was no classification in our use table for that.
But it does fit into that.
So you have a public hearing, and as long as people are okay with it, right? So, but if people objected to that commercial operation,
they always have a right to appeal it. If they feel like if we didn't read the ordinance correctly, if we misapplied commercial facility to the doggy daycare, they can appeal it.
I mean, we've had a couple of those come through that we had to figure out where they belonged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I believe that Addison thing down there where Bausch's, the RV place was.
Oh, yeah.
We couldn't figure out how it was going to fit in.
But then it turned out it's retail.
It's retail, right.
Retail, so it fit.
And then we found a place for it.
But when we had a wedding facility.
Yes.
We adopted that use, outdoor recreation or special event facilities, because it did not fit into anything.
Right.
I mean, that's really all we can do really make it fit.
Well, we can't list everything.
Right.
No.
Well, that's why you need to catch
all. List everything.
Or come up with something that people have thought of that we haven't thought of yet.
Right, and that's where you need to catch all.
But with the outdoor recreation or special, which one?
Special events facility.
Artisanal for
food. Yeah, artisanal food and or beverage, which we adopted after Funky Bowl did his contract, you know.
Right.
Right, yeah.
We didn't squeeze those into that. I don't think we abuse that commercial facility to just be.
No, I don't remember it being on any application
right.
that we.
Yep. But the only one I can recall is that doggy daycare, and I think that fits.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you.
Okay. Do you think we should add that use as a specific use in our
land
use table?
Is that doggy daycare?
Yeah.
And what happens if someone wants doggy daycare? You'd have to use a more generic term because someone's going to say, well, I want to use kitty care. I want to use donkey daycare. I want to do, people have weirdest pets nowadays.
Yeah.
And they have goat yoga.
Mm-hmm. No, not go there.
I'm serious.
It's about to get punchy.
Well, I think 8:30 is a good time to stall the night.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We have nothing for the next meeting.
Continue on with this.
We'll continue on with this. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do a little get-together next meeting or not?
Are you cooking shrimp again?
I am. If everybody is okay with that, I'm doing shrimp. If you want to get together after the meeting for a little bit or not.
Sure.
We didn't do it last year because of COVID. Mm. So it could be.
It is a good idea.
Yeah, I think I'd be good for you. I'm pretty sure
I'll be. I will have to see if I can meet for my meeting.
What's the night? That's what, December?
It is the
8th.
If I don't have a meeting, I will
be. The 8th, right? Oh, that's right. 8 and 7:15.
Okay, well, I think they have a little progress anyway.
Yeah.
6:31.
And we haven't gotten any. We only get that one back from comments from the. From the Zoning Board of Appeals. I don't think anybody else has given us any specific comments. Not that I remember. So I guess we've got to go through here and get enough to package up for public hearing purposes and then maybe go for change.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can see. We can't get everything, but we can start biting at it. Anyway.
Some progress is better than none.
Yeah, and we know there's some issues, more issues in here.
Well, I'll make a motion to close the meeting.
Sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
And I'll make sure.